Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. So page 126, the bottom. O King, when Lord Brahma saw the imminent, total annihilation of the demons, he sent a message with Narada.
So the marker is pointing at the footnote.
We completed the footnote.
Did we? No.
We didn't do this whole thing with Namuchi and everything?
We completed the footnote 42.
We finished this last page.
We did after the footnote 42.
Yeah,
footnote 42 is completed. So we come back to our main page.
So we're on thereafter last Indra thing. Released.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thereafter, Indra released himself from the cage of the network of arrows, appearing with his chariot, flag, horses, and chariot driver, and thus pleasing the sky, the earth, and all directions. He shone effulgently like the sun at the end of night. Indra is bright and beautiful in the vision of everyone. When Indra, who is known as Vajradhara, the carrier of the thunderbolt, saw his own soldiers so oppressed by the enemies on the battlefield, he became very angry. Thus he took up his thunderbolt to kill the enemies. O King Parikit, King Indra used his thunderbolt to cut off the heads of both Bali and Paka in the presence of all their relatives and followers. In this way he created a very fearful atmosphere on the battlefield. O King, when Namuchi, another demon, saw the killing of both Bala and Paka, he was full of grief and lamentation. Thus he angrily made a great attempt to kill Indra. Being angry and roaring like a lion, the demon Namuchi took up a steel spear, which was bound with bells and decorated with ornaments of gold. He loudly cried, "Now you are killed." Thus, coming before Indra to kill him, Namuchi released his weapon. O King, when Indra, King of Heaven, saw this very powerful spear falling towards the ground like a blazing meteor, he immediately cut it to pieces with his arrows. Then, being very angry, he struck Namuchi's shoulder with his thunderbolt to cut off Namuchi's head. Although King Indra hurled his thunderbolt at Namuchi with great force, it could not even pierce his skin. It is very wonderful that the famed thunderbolt that had pierced the body of Vritrasura could not even slightly injure the skin of Namuchi's neck. When Indra saw the thunderbolt return from the enemy, he was very much afraid. He began to wonder whether this had happened because of some miraculous superior power. Indra thought, "Formerly, when many mountains flying in the sky with wings would fall on the ground and kill people, I cut their wings with the same thunderbolt. Vritrasura was the essence of austerities undergone by Tvashta, yet the thunderbolt killed him." Indeed, not only he, but also many other stalwart heroes, whose very skin could not be injured even by all kinds of weapons, were killed by the same thunderbolt. But now, although the same thunderbolt has been released against a less important demon, it has been ineffectual. Therefore, although it was as good as a Brahmastra, it has now become useless like an ordinary rod. I shall therefore hold it no longer. Sukadeva Goswami continued, While the morose Indra is lamenting in this way, an ominous, unembodied voice said from the sky, "This demon Namuchi is not to be annihilated by anything dry or moist." The voice also said, "O Indra, because I have given this demon the benediction that he will never be killed by any weapon that is dry or moist, you have to think of another way to kill him." After hearing the ominous voice, Indra, with great attention, began to meditate on how to kill the demon. He then saw that foam would be the means, for it is neither moist nor dry. Thus Indra, king of heaven, severed Namuchi's head with a weapon of foam, which was neither dry nor moist. Wow. So, they say they should be very, very careful in the pubs, right? Quite obliterate everybody in the place. Okay. Then all the sages satisfied Indra, the exalted personality, by showering flowers and garlands upon him, almost covering him. Vishvavasu and Paravastu, the two chiefs of the Gandharvas, sang in great happiness. The kettle drums of the demigods sounded, and the apsaras danced in jubilation. Vayu, Agni, Varuna, and other demigods began killing the demons who opposed them, just as lions kill deer in a forest. O king, when Lord Brahma saw the imminent total annihilation of the demons, he sent a message with Narada, who went before the demigods to make them stop fighting. The great sage Narada said, "All of you demigods are protected by the arms of Narayana, the Supreme Personality Godhead, and by his grace you have gotten the nectar. By the grace of the Goddess of Fortune, you are glorious in every way. Therefore, please stop this fighting." Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, accepting the words of Narada, the demigods gave up their anger and stopped fighting. Being praised by their followers, they returned to their heavenly planets. Following the order of Narad Muni, whatever demons remained on the battlefield took Bali Maharaj, who was in a precarious condition, to the hill known as Astagiri. There on that hill, Sukracharya brought to life all the dead demoniac soldiers who had not lost their heads, trunks, and limbs. Right? So if they were just pierced by arrows or that, but if you had things cut off, then it wouldn't work, you know, like that. He achieved this by his own mantra, known as Sanjivani. Bali Maharaj was very expert in universal affairs. When he regained his senses and memory by the grace of Sukracharya, he could understand everything that had happened. Therefore, all that he had been defeated, he did not lament. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 48. It is significant that Bali Maharaj is here said to be very experienced. Although defeated, he was not at all sorry, for he knew that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? That was his instruction to Indra. That Indra was saying so many things, but he was saying actually it's by the Lord's grace that everything works. So you shouldn't be talking in this particular way. Okay? Since he was a devotee, he accepted his defeat without lamentation. As stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita 2:47, Karman yevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Everyone in Krishna consciousness should execute his duty without regard for victory or defeat. One must execute his duty as ordered by Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master. Anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti ruptama. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 19.167. In first class devotional service, one always abides by the orders and will of Krishna. So one performs one's duties, it's what's once done, what's supposed to do, and if it works out nicely, then that's good. And if it doesn't work out, you're not worried about it. You're just doing your best to follow the order. And then however things unfold, that's then what you do. Right? So, conclusion. In this material world, everything happens under the influence of time. Consequently, for a learned person who sees how things are taking place, there's no question of being sorry or unhappy because of the waves of material nature. So that's, it's not a problem. You're doing your duty, material nature does what it does. Things change, things adjust, that's just the time factor. Therefore, we don't lament for that. We just, okay, the situation's adjusted, we perform our service in this new situation. Right? That's the whole point. How to be Krishna conscious in whatever situation. We're not trying to... it's not that the situation itself is the cause of happiness or distress. It's being absorbed in Krishna, that's cause of happiness. Not being absorbed in Krishna, that's the cause of distress. Right? So. Not the review question, how much foam was used? Yeah. Chapter 12. The Mohini Murti incarnation bewilders Lord Shiva. Pratigya. The attractive features of a woman are appreciated by those who are affected by lusty desires. But those who are above such desires, who are on the platform of Krishna consciousness, are very difficult to bewilder. 16th purport. Because those who maintain a demoniac mentality are bewildered by the beauty of a woman. But those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, or even those on the platform of goodness, are not bewildered. That's reason. Lord Shiva was supposed to be above all this attraction, but he was victimized by the captivating power of a woman. Right? So the doubt comes up. Lord Shiva cannot be victimized by Maya. Therefore, it is to be understood that Lord Shiva was being thus harassed by Lord Vishnu's internal potency. Lord Vishnu can perform many wonderful activities through his various potencies. To do anything expertly, he doesn't even need to contemplate. Since Lord Shiva is being harassed by the woman, it is to be understood that this is being done not by a woman, but by Lord Vishnu himself. Okay, so this explains and brings us near to the proper understanding here. Therefore, no one should think himself liberated in the presence of a beautiful woman, Siddhanta. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Shiva was bewildered upon seeing the beautiful Mohini Murti, incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how he later came to his senses. When Lord Shiva heard about the pastimes performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of an attractive woman, he mounted his bull and went to see the Lord, accompanied by his wife, Uma, and his servants. Right? First mistake. I know, first mistake was going. Second mistake was taking the wife and servants. The Buddha, Gana, or ghosts. He approached the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord as the all-pervading Lord, the universal form, the supreme control of creation, the supersoul, the resting place for everyone, and the completely independent cause of all causes. Thus he offered prayers giving truthful descriptions of the Lord. Then he expressed his desire. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is very kind to his devotees. Therefore, to fulfill the desire of his devotee, Lord Shiva, he expanded his energy and manifested himself in the form of a very beautiful and attractive woman. Upon seeing this form, even Lord Shiva was captivated. Later, by the grace of Krishna, he controlled himself. This demonstrates that by the power of the Lord's external energy, everyone is captivated by the form of a woman in this material world. Again, however, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can overcome the influence of Maya. This was evinced by Lord Shiva, the topmost devotee of the Lord. First he was captivated, but later, by the grace of the Lord, he restrained himself. It is declared in this connection that only a pure devotee can restrain himself from the attractive feature of Maya. Otherwise, once a living entity is trapped by the external feature of Maya, he cannot overcome it. Right? So this is a very, very important point, is that our being able to give up our attraction to Maya is only by the Lord's grace. We can't do it ourselves. It means, here, let us just put it into context. Okay, in this corner, 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, right? Okay, brilliant as the sun, you know, like that, you know, all this and that. In this other corner, 1/4 of unlimited.
Oh.
Like that. Right? So, in other words, we're never going to win. It's just a matter of, we're thinking in a more pious way, the modes go up. We're thinking impious, the modes go down. That's all. It's just desire. But to overcome Maya, that is impossible for the jiva. Right? So, therefore, if we take shelter of the Lord, he controls. So that probably gives the example. You go into some man's property, and he has a ferocious dog. There's nothing you can do about it. But if you know the master, then he calls off the dog. So that's how it works. So as we follow the order of the spiritual master, follow the order of Krishna, trying to please Krishna, that's how we overcome Maya. So if we find we are progressing and we have less attraction for Maya, that's by the Lord's grace. Why? Because we've taken shelter of the spiritual master and we're following his instruction. That's what makes it work. Does that make sense? It's not that I'm going to control my senses today, because that never works out so good. You know, like that. You know, we have our idea, it never works.
Even for Shiva it didn't work.
Sorry?
For Shiva it's
yeah, and that's the whole point. If for Shiva it won't work, it's not going to work for anybody. You know, because his wife is that one quarter.
That's why it didn't work.
Yeah. But he's the Purusha aspect of that, so it's in one sense you could say it's supposedly equally matched, but no.
Still.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. Otherwise, once a living entity is trapped by the external feature of Maya, he cannot overcome it. After Lord Shiva was graced by the Supreme Lord, he circumambulated the Lord along with his wife, Bhavani, and his companions, the ghosts. Then he left for his own abode. Right, so in the worship of the Lord, going to see the Lord, he went with everybody to worship the Lord and circumambulate. That was everybody. Being in Maya, he was on his own. Like that.
It was a recognizable pattern.
Yes, you can see that there's a difference there. Yeah. Okay. Then he left for his own abode. Sugadeva Goswami concludes the chapter by describing the transcendental qualities of Uttam Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by declaring that one can glorify the Lord by 9 kinds of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam Kirtanam, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, Shlokanusharanam, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 14, prayers offered by Lord Shiva to the Supreme Lord. 15 to 47, Lord Shiva captivated by Mohini Murti. Verses 1 to 14, prayers offered by Lord Shiva to the Supreme Lord. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of a woman, captivated the demons and enabled the demigods to drink the nectar. After hearing these pastimes, Lord Shiva, who is carried by a bull, went to the place where Madhusudana, the Lord, resides. Accompanied by his wife Uma and surrounded by his companions, the ghosts, Lord Shiva went there to see the Lord's form as a woman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead welcomed Lord Shiva and Uma with great respect. And after being seated comfortably, Lord Shiva duly worshipped the Lord and smilingly spoke as follows." 1-3. Lord Mahadev said, "O chief demigod among the demigods, O all-pervading Lord, master of the universe, by your energy you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. You are not material. Indeed, you are the supersoul or living force of everything. Therefore, you are Parameshwara, the supreme controller of all controllers." Mm-hmm. Yes.
Means now the Lord is in his normal form?
Yes, not yes. Mohini Murti? No. He's in his normal form. Because we'll see as Mohini, you know, makes a grand entrance like that. Because that's the fun part, is that Vishnu's sitting there, Shiva's sitting there, his wife and everybody else is sitting there, then Mohini comes in while Vishnu's sitting there. And then Uma's sitting there, Shiva gets, you know, inspired and goes running after her, right? All this is happening, so you know, there's a performance and then there's an audience watching. Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, "Lord Shiva said, O Lord, who performs pastimes among the devas, deva-deva." Lord Vishnu replied, "But Shiva, you also perform pastimes among the devatas." Lord Shiva said, "O pervader of the universe, though I also exist within the universe, you are spread everywhere." Lord Vishnu said, "You should control the universe along with me, O Lord of the universe." We're getting a... Because we have... Shiva, Vishnu, Shiva, Vishnu, Vishnu, Shiva. Mm-hmm. See, it reverses there. What happened? Shiva, Vishnu, Shiva, Vishnu, 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 Shiva, Shiva. Okay. That'd probably go down well in Varanasi. Right? You know, they would probably like it. Okay. Lord Vishnu replied, but you are also called the Lord of the universe. So, oh, Lord of the universe, that would be Shiva. But you are also called the Lord of the universe by the people. Lord Shiva said, O Lord who personifies this universe, though I am purely spiritual, I also intimately mixed with the universe and thus influenced by that. I am not the controller. You are the controller. I am called the Lord by Brahma and others secondarily. Lord Vishnu said, you say that I am the primary form, but that form is well known as the...
As the universe.
Oh, okay. That's not. Okay. I was looking for a footnote. Sorry. Because it's down here and small, and at the bottom, I just took it as a footnote. I was looking down here. So that form is well known in the universe. You know, earth, water, fire, air. And I was thinking, no, but Prabhupada asked, no, it was Vishnu. Let me go back. Vishnu. Okay, here. Okay. That form is well known as the universe itself, made of the matter of the universe. Lord Shiva said, you are the producer of consciousness in all things and the cause of all things. Thus you are called the Supreme Lord. Right? So, because Shiva has all these great qualities in that, because he has 55 qualities of Krishna, but not at the level that he has. Right? Because the origin is Mahavishnu. He's an aspect of that. So, so there's a non-difference, but there's a difference. So actually the support is, he is the transformation, so there's non-difference, but still the support is Mahavishnu. So then it's actually him. So he's pervading, but then he has the element. So even you're taking, okay, Sadashiva and Narayan, basically they're the same. Mood is different, but they're same. So one is the Supreme Lord, that I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Other is, he is a devotee who takes part in the aspect of destruction, or the ignorance of the living entities. Okay. So on that level, you can say they're non-different. You know, like Advaitacharya. He's known as Mahavishnu, he's known as Sadashiva. But he's pointing out that, okay, you've said, because Vishnu says, no, but you're like, you know, you're same as me like that. But then he says, no, but as we expand into the universe, you as Vishnu are untouched, but I as Rudra am touched. So there's still a difference. So this, even though they're non-different, they are different. That's the meaning. Milk and yogurt are non-different, but yogurt is still different from milk. Right? Does that make sense?
The mood is different. It expands, and then it becomes more gross.
Then you see it becomes more different. Right? So Vishnu just manifests less of his, what he needs to just run the universe. Right? Mahavishnu is manifesting more potency because he's running all the universes. But as Kiradaksha, he just has to manage one universe. Right, but Shiva, when he comes in, then he's actually intimately connected with Maya. And so then he can be influenced. But as we see as him being Purusha, technically he's not overwhelmed by his wife. And so therefore we can understand at the end that it's actually Vishnu. It's his Yoga Maya. So it's not Mahamaya that he's like that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's a different, you know, just like on the point of pastimes, Krishna can be controlled by his internal potency. Right? So then Shiva, then being expansion, can be controlled by that internal potency. Right? So just it'll take on that flavor with Shiva as opposed to Narayan. Because Narayan will always maintain that detachment, while Shiva then appears not always. Yes?
So, can you give an example of how Shiva is?
It's his wife. Material energy is his wife. He's Purusha. He's not Prakriti. He's Purusha. But his Prakriti is his wife, material nature. Does that make sense?
So that's the difference.
Yes, because material energy is not the consort of Vishnu. Only the internal potency is. She expands. That means he expands and then she expands. So therefore, interacting with the material nature is only done by Shiva. Vishnu doesn't interact. But it's on his authority that she does everything. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. Srila Prabhupada comments on the same verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, resides within the material world as the Sattva-guna avatar. Lord Shiva is the Tamaguna avatar, and Lord Brahma is the Rajaguna avatar. But although Lord Vishnu is among them, he is not in the same category. That's why he's Deva-Deva, right? In this case, because Shiva is also known as Deva-Deva, or Narad Muni is known as Deva-Deva. So many are known as that, but in this context, he's saying Deva-Deva because he's beyond the Devas, while they're still within the Devas, right? Means they may be the best amongst the Devas, but he is, you know, who is the actual Devata of the Devas, right? Mm-hmm. He's their deity.
Because amongst the demigods, Shivji is known as Mahadeva, that means he's the topmost amongst the demigods.
Yes.
And then Vishnu is like Devadeva.
Yes.
Topmost to Shivji.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah, yeah, okay. But although Lord Vishnu is among them, he is not in the same category. Lord Vishnu is Deva-Deva, the chief of the demigods. Since Lord Shiva is in this material world, the energy of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, includes Shiva. Lord Vishnu is therefore called Jagat-Vyapi, the all-pervading Lord. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Maheshwara, and so people think that Lord Shiva is everything. But here, Lord Shiva addresses Lord Vishnu as Jagat-Isha, the master of the universe. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Vishveshwara, but here he addresses Lord Vishnu as Jagan Maya, indicating that even Vishveshwara is under Lord Shiva's control. But Lord Vishnu is the master of the spiritual world, yet he controls the material world also, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. Suyate Sa Characharam. Huh? Yes, it's a very big Sanskrit word. Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are also sometimes called Ishwara, but the supreme Ishwara is Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishwara Parama Krishna. Brahma Samhita 5:1. The supreme Lord is Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Everything in existence works in proper order because of Lord Vishnu. Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. Brahma Samhita 5:35. Even Paramanu, the small atoms, work because of Lord Vishnu's presence within them. Remember, the atoms were there, separated, but you couldn't do anything with the atoms. Right? The primordial demigods could do nothing with these atoms because they just were existing. There was no potency in them to actually interact. So when Krishna entered them, right, as attraction, then you could put atoms together and actually build something. Right? So that potency that even the atom does atom stuff, right, that is because of the Lord. Okay. Yeah. Lord Mahadev continued, the manifest, the unmanifest, false ego, and the beginning, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation all come from you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are the absolute truth, the supreme absolute spirit soul, the supreme Brahman, such changes as birth, death, and sustenance do not exist in you. Okay, so here's the absolute spirit soul, because he's known as Atma. He is actually the soul of everything. Means everything is him. Then he has his expansions, his internal potency, and us, that therefore, then we're also known as Atma, but we're subservient. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Lord Vishnu said, you say that I am the material of the universe, but the universe has a beginning, is temporary and unconscious. Are you saying I am temporary and unconscious? Right. So first he says, no, but you're all this. And then when he says that, but are you saying this? Yes, so, yeah. So he has, calling me a pot. Yeah, so. Yeah. Lord Shiva replied, no, from whom arise birth and death in this world, and living as well. Anything you see in this world and other things you cannot see, I and possessiveness. That Brahman was spiritual form as you. You, the indestructible Brahman, do not have a beginning, middle, and end. So all that you can see and all that you can't see are I and mine. Because we're looking, whatever you see in this world is here because of I and mine. So that's the part we can't see. So people are acting, they're doing, and so if you can perceive what's behind that, you can see is why people are doing because of I, because of mine. They want to control the situation because of I. They want, you know, and why do they want? Because they want to enjoy it, because of the mind. So therefore, there's so much trouble in the world because of this subtle point. If one gives up I and mine, then it's just cooperation on what's best for Krishna service. Right? But if it's not based on that, then it's going to be who's in control. Because who's in control, they're the one who enjoys. So therefore, there's a big fight over who's the controller. Right? And ultimately, who's the enjoyer. We don't say that too much. Who's in control, that we'll say out loud. We don't say that, you know, no. You know, it's like, I'm in control, you know, I'm the boss of this country, I'm in control, I say what happens, and everybody else listens. Okay, that's all right to say. You can't say, this is my company, you know, the benefits from this company are all mine, I enjoy everything, and then whatever I feel like, I share with you guys. That will not go down well. Right? So therefore, the I part is always, you know, out in the, you know, generally you try to avoid both, but if you do, then you use the I one. You don't use the enjoy one. Right? That's
Pariyojana is very confidential.
Yes, it's very confidential. More rahasya. Yes, even more hidden. Right? Yes. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, according to the Vedic mantras, yato vai mani bhutani jayante. Oh, okay, never mind. Everything is an emanation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano buddhire vacha ahankara iti yam me bhina prakritir astada. Takes a while.
Yeah. It seemed like that one was missing a syllable.
Yeah, no, it's just because if they are together, you say them one way, and if they're separate, you say them another. Yeah. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together, these eight comprise my separated material energies. In other words, the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation also consist of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This does not mean, however, that because the ingredients come from him, he is no longer complete. Woo. Okay. Oh, okay, Isha Upanishad.
Yes.
Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishite. Yes, so, see? So, Isha invocation.
I don't know why those got squished.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It seems to be becoming popular. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Thus, the Lord is called Avyaya, inexhaustible. Unless we accept the absolute truth as achintya bheda bheda, simultaneously one and different, we cannot have a clear conception of the absolute truth, right? Because without this flaw, you can't get it clear on this kind of detail. Right? One has some idea, but one will not get a clear idea of how the Lord is simultaneously everything and at the same time not. Right? Because of not understanding the oneness, then we have deification. Right, because if he is part of the material world, that means it is him. So we can't see, don't see the difference. We see the oneness, but we can't see the difference. So then you have to deify to create the difference, right? Or because he's supreme, he's untouched. So that means nothing here can be here. So all this is happening; it can't be him. So it ends up with a problem. You have to have both. Then you can see how he's in control, but he's unaffected. Like that. And we're controlled and affected.
What to do?
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, problem. Okay. The Lord is the root of everything. Aham adir hi devanam. Bhagavad Gita 10.2. He is the original cause of all the devas or demigods. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Everything emanates from him. In all cases, nominative, objective, positive, negative, and so on, whatever we may conceive of in this entire cosmic manifestation is in fact the Supreme Lord. Right, so that's what the acharyas do. They'll use all these different cases and then prove how he is. Because you know, you have the situation, but you have all the different aspects of it. Who's doing the thing? Who is towards? Who's the what's the action? What's the instrument? What's the cause? What's the result? So they'll just do that. Yeah. For him, there's no distinction as quote, this is mine and this belongs to someone else. Right. This is mine, and that's mine, and everything else is mine. It's all mine.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he is everything, he is therefore called Avyaya, changeless and inexhaustible. Because the Supreme Lord is Avyaya, he is the absolute truth, the fully spiritual Supreme Brahman. Right? So that we have to get, because we're used to things being temporary. Right? Even though we don't like it, we've adjusted that things are temporary. So when we talk about the absolute truth, then we'll try to say, but where does he come from? Or, you know, all these things like this. But the point is that's what makes him beyond. And that's what we're looking for. We look for him in everything. We're looking for that inexhaustible element, that changeless element. That's what we like about something. We don't like it because it does change. So, yeah. Right. Even let's say somebody likes, no, but I like change. You know, 1 year I go on vacation here, 1 year I go on vacation there, and so it makes it so nice. But what's the unchanging part?
Vacation.
The vacation, but what about the vacation? That it has variety. Mm. That it actually, I go to something else, I will be happy. So it's still the same thing. It's just how you're looking at the Lord. You're looking at the Lord in a different way. Right. So. Lord Mahadev continued, pure devotees are great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal in life and who are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in transcendental service of your lotus feet. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, the conduct of the great souls proves that you have this nature. The sages worship your lotus feet, not mine. People with material desires worship me. Shreyas kama here means those who desire bhakti. Just as your devotee has no material desire, you also have no material desire. You are not like me, with a desire for power, who am dependent on my worshippers. Right? So all the prayers, so we see Vishwanath points out is what's the mood behind it, why he's saying the particular words in that particular order. Like we saw before, it wasn't just a random order of praises, but that order was, he says this, the Lord will say that, therefore he says the next one like this. So, yeah. So he's pointing out is, Krishna has no material desire, the great personalities, they worship him who have no material desire, right? So because of that, they worship the Lord, they have no material desire, so one becomes like the Lord. But those of material desire worship Lord Shiva, therefore he's not beyond the material. That's the point. He may be very powerful. Technically, of anybody within the material world, he's the most powerful. But he's still not beyond being affected. That's the thing. So,
The Lord has no material desires. Those who worship him also don't get to the point of no material desires.
Yes.
Now, Lord Shiva, technically, he also has no material desires as such. So, in the same logic, those who worship him should be...
No, but what form are they worshipping as? As are they worshipping him as Sadashiva or as Rudra?
So it depends if they worship him as Rudra.
Means, in other words, devotees, like let's say Sanatana Goswami, he would always respect Lord Shiva. So you see where, Manasaganga, he was living where Lord Shiva stayed there. And then when he was in Vrindavan, there's that temple, you know, just down where the road at Loy Bazaar meets the road that comes from... Is that what the road's called? When it goes by Nimbarka deity?
Banki Bihari.
Where that road, you know, it comes out of the main road and goes inside where it comes out and meets the Loy Bazaar road, right there's a temple. Where Shiva is. So then when Sanatana Goswami is getting old, because he used to go from there and walk all the way to Govardhan, walk around Govardhan and walk back. You know, and so we're thinking, wow, I walked around Govardhan. That was, used to walk from Vrindavan over there, go around Govardhan. So that he'd also go to a particular place to see Lord Shiva, I think down at Gopeshwar. I think it was farther down in the, like that. So Krishna then worked out, he had that Govardhan Shila, that was Madonna, it goes around that seven times, and it was the same as Govardhan, and Lord Shiva came and said, no, instead of going there, he came as another deity, it was at that place, and you go around him at that point. And so then it all worked out. Right? So, therefore the devotees are worshipping him as the greatest Vaishnava, because by his grace, one can give up this, I am the controller and enjoyer. Right? Because that's where it comes from. False ego means I'm the controller and enjoyer. So he's the lord of that aspect. So by his grace, one can give that up. Right? And giving up that, then one can give up all material desire. So that's why if you gain the blessings of Advaitacharya, then giving up that mentality, then you can get Nityananda Prabhu's blessings and give up all material interest. Right? Then you can get Lord Chaitanya's. Right? That's the...
Lord doesn't have any material desire, and even his devotees has no material desire. Shivji is a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, technically, even he should not have material desire. But he says here that he has a desire for power. You know? So what does it mean? Like, he has no material desire as a devotee, but he also desires.
But that was answered what we discussed before about Sada Shiva and Rudra.
Okay, same.
Yeah?
Okay.
Same point, because his devotees are all worshippers of. If anybody does worship him on that level as Sada Shiva, those are the ones that are with him in his Samkirtan pastimes in Mahakalapura. But those, generally, from what I could understand, would be generally expansions of his energy, right? Like that. But it's not that Jivas couldn't be there, but that's not a point of discussion, because it's not our field of interest.
Bhutas and Ugans, they're different?
They're down here. Up there, they're there, but in their a little bit better forms. Yeah. Imis, yeah. Like that. No, they're within here. Out there, I don't think they... You know. Yeah.
So it's not any form one worships Lord Shiva to get rid of the false egos. It's a special thing.
It's not a special form. It's him in his mood as he's as a devotee. That's the form. But he can be, that form can be manifest through any of the forms. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, like that. It's just like, let me say, if you go to Shiva temple that the Shiva worshippers are worshipping, you notice there's a particular flavor in the mood there. But we interact with him as a devotee, so we get a different effect. But for them, it's a very, very different mood. So much sense. Yeah, because they're worshipping, as he says, for material benefit. We are on
Lord
Mahadev. Continue to... The one, my Lord, you are?
Yes.
That one, okay. Because they're all Lord Mahadev. Continue. Right? Yeah. My Lord, you are the Supreme Brahman, complete in everything. Being completely spiritual, you are eternal, free from the material modes of nature, and full of transcendental bliss. Indeed, for you, there is no question of lamentation. Since you are the supreme cause, the cause of all causes, nothing can exist without you. Yet we are different from you in a relationship of cause and effect. For in one sense, the cause and effect are different. You are the original cause of creation, manifestation, and annihilation, and you bestow benedictions upon all living entities. Everyone depends upon you for the results of his activities, but you are always independent. So he is independent, so we're always dependent upon him. He is the original cause, so we want something, still it's coming from him. But the point is he's beyond that. He's independent of that. He's the source of that. So that way he's always beyond. So even Lord Shiva, his ability to do what he does comes by the benefit, by Krishna's grace. Right? So that's why he sees himself in a different position. So, yeah. Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur comments. This is because your form is distinct from this universe. Brahman is spiritual and the universe is material. The other words are adjectives describing Brahman. You are full and the universe is incomplete. The universe has material elements, gunas, lamentation, happiness, and distress, and is subject to change. You do not have these faults. There is nothing except Brahman, because Brahman is the cause of everything. Thus it is different from the universe. Because the universe is not even conscious, Brahman is different from the universe, and because the universe is different, because it is the effect of Brahman. The universe is clearly... So, means he is the origin, the universe is an effect, so that means there's a difference. It has to be a difference. Because we're saying Brahman is everything, so everything has to be Brahman, but we can see within this, he is the cause. The material energy is Brahman, is the effect. So even though there's a non-difference, there's a difference. The universe is clearly defined as the effect of Brahman. Brahman is the cause of the appearance, maintenance, and destruction of the world. You are the Lord of the Jivas conditioned by the universe, and the giver of results to them. The Lord asks, "Am I like a king who gives results to those who serve with some dependence on them?" Shiva answers, "Not at all." Remember, because before he was saying Vishnu is independent, even though he's Deva, he's giving all benefits to everybody. But Shiva, as giving all benefits to that, he's still dependent upon them and on the Lord, right? Because he can't do what he does as Shiva unless they approach him as Shiva and ask for benediction. But the Lord is independent. Anyone approaches him or not, he's still who he is. Right? That's the difference. So here, then Krishna is asking that same thing. Am I like a king who gives results to those who serve with some dependence on them? Because are you a king if there are no subjects? Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like that. That's the point. Is you have the, how you say? Is Spartacus a king? No. Because there are no subjects. But before, when he had subjects, he was a king. You understand? So that's the whole point. So there's a dependency. Even though you say he's superior, but there's a dependency. So that was what came up before. So again, now Krishna's saying, Shiva said it about himself. Now Vishnu said, I'm like that? You know? Like that. Shiva answers, "Not at all. They depend on you. That is all you expect. You give results according to their dependency." Right? So he's the supreme whether they approach him or not. But when they do approach him, then according to how they approach him is how he responds. So you do not depend on them. They are dependent on you in order to attain their results, but you do not depend on them for fulfilling your own goals. Right? To be a king, you have to have citizens who respect you, right? And that makes you the king. You take care, you maintain, you protect. And so he doesn't require that. He's the supreme lord, whether anybody else is manifest or not, or interacting with him or not. That's the uniqueness of him. We as energy are always dependent. So even if we're in a superior position, we're still dependent on everybody else, right? The factory owner's there, he's the lord, but if there's no people in the factory, how well does it go? Hence, you know, the effectiveness of labor unions. Right? That's the whole point. Lord Mahadev continued, "My dear Lord, your lordship alone is the cause and the effect. Therefore, although you appear to be two, you are the absolute one. As there is no difference between the gold of a gold ornament and the gold in a mine, there is no difference between cause and effect. Both of them are the same. Only because of ignorance do people concoct differences and dualities." Right? So you have to know how it works. If you apply the difference in the wrong way. So he's saying here is everything is one. It is all. And you see this comes up a lot. It means in the beginning, we'll speak very strongly on this point because people say it's one on the material platform. But if you're talking on the transcendental platform, yes, everything is one because it's all Krishna. But because one is dependent and one is independent, therefore there's a difference. So when we try to say that which there's a difference is the same, that's what we say is bogus. But saying everything is the Lord and dependent upon the Lord, that oneness, then that's where we'll make that as a... You'll see that point probably is constantly made. But it's being constantly made in the Vaishnava context. So that's why we may not catch it. You are free from material contamination, and since the entire cosmos is caused by you and cannot exist without you, it is an effect of your transcendental qualities. Thus, the conception that Brahman is true and the world is false, and the world false cannot be maintained. Footnote 8. Srila Prabhupada comments. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the living entities are representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's marginal potency, whereas the various bodies accepted by the living entities are products of the material energy. Thus, the soul is considered material. thus the body is considered material, and the soul is considered spiritual. The origin of them both, however, is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord explains in Bhagavad Gita 7, 4, and 5. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano bhudhyare vacha ahankara iti amme bhina prakriti astada apareyam itashtvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho ayedham dharaye jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there's a superior energy of mind, which consists of all living entities, who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Right? So here sustaining means, there sustaining means you keep it going. Like, you know, how you say, a hospital is maintained because there are people coming to it. If people stop coming to the hospital, no need to keep the hospital. Right? It doesn't mean that the governance doesn't go on or whoever has the hospital doesn't go on. It just means you don't. So the material world is maintained because there's living entities that want to take advantage of it. Right? Thus, both matter and the living entities are manifestations of energy of the Supreme Lord. Since the energy and the energetic are non-different, and since the material and marginal energies are both energies of the Supreme Energetic, the Supreme Lord, ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is everything. In this regard, the example may be given of gold that has not been molded and gold that has been molded into various ornaments. A gold earring and the gold in a mine are different only as cause and effect. Otherwise, they are the same. The Vedanta Sutra describes that Brahman is the cause of everything. Janmadyasya yataha, Srimad Bhagavatam 111. Everything is born of the Supreme Brahman, from which everything emanates as different energies. None of these energies, therefore, should be considered false. The Mayavadi's differentiation between Brahman and Maya is only due to ignorance. Right? And they're also known, their worshippers are Lord Shiva, so therefore they go to source for their ignorance, right? They're not going to get it in an offhand way. Like that. So this is an important point. It's because it comes from the Lord, therefore, Lord is real, also what comes from Him is real. That's very important. But our perception of it, our value of it, that's the illusion. Because it doesn't have any value for the soul. Right? Other than its connection to Krishna. Its connection to Krishna, that's very valuable. But just that I can control and enjoy it separately from the Lord, that's illusion. That's the point. But what we see, what's manifest, that's real. Does that make sense? The ingredients are real. Yeah. So when we say the gold mine is there, so unlimited gold, and then we have a gold earring. But then we say the gold earring in the mine, that gold is non-difference. That means quality. Yes, that's true. But we say the volume of gold in the earring and the volume of gold in the mine are the same. That's ignorance. That's the Mayavadis. So, Srimad Viragavacharya, in his Bhagavat Chandra Chandrika, describes the Vaishnava philosophy as follows. The cosmic manifestation is described as sat, asat as chit and achit. Matter is achit. The living force is chit. But the origin is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in whom there is no difference between matter and spirit, right? So Chit, Achit, and Ishwara, right? According to this conception, the cosmic manifestation, considering of both matter and spirit, is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Idam hi Vishvam Bhagavan Nivetaraha. This cosmic manifestation is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it appears different from Him. In Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord says, "By me, in my unmanifest form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them." Right? So, He, by Brahman, He pervades everything. As Paramatma, He pervades everything. But as Bhagavan, He doesn't. Right? So therefore, that's where the difference is. So when we're talking about He is beyond, that is, He is a person. But He is the basis of everything. So even He's pervading, He's still the basis. He's independent. While everything else, what we call material, is dependent. So that's the difference. Even though He's in everything, He's still dependent. So Shiva, even though He may also have an element of all-pervading and all that, He's still dependent upon the Lord. Right? Because He's the Lord of Maya, who's controlled by Vishnu. So He may be the one interacting and dealing with Maya, but that potency to be able to do that comes from Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Right? So Paramatma also in everything?
Yes. Yes. Right? That's why we say localized. You understand? Because localized means He's sitting there in the heart. That aspect is what we're appreciating. Because as Bhagavan, He's the Supreme Lord who's doing everything. So when we talk about Paramatma, we're talking about the Supreme Lord. But if you talk about specifics, then He's sitting in the heart, He's doing certain things. So that's why we say localized. Does that make sense? Bhagavan is not localized. He is a person. He's not localized to a specific thing.
Right, I guess the part that I'm... Is it not everything has a heart? And if things in the heart, isn't all living entities?
Yes.
But it's not everything.
Not everything means?
You were saying that the Paramatma is pervading everything.
Yes, means here in the material world.
So even the things that are not living entities?
Yes. Means, as we mentioned before, how does an atom work? Right, if it has little things spinning around, and where does that potency come from? Things don't spin unless there's a powerhouse. So the atom is energy. Where's the powerhouse for it? So He's in the atom.
Okay, so that's not Brahman.
In that feature, yes, but that it's all transcendental and everything. That's Brahman. Its generic qualities is Brahman. It's how it's going to function, and that it's following the laws of nature, that's Paramatma. Is that? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.